morning. Good morning. Good morning, Cornerstone family. It's so good to see you. I'm glad it's morning finally. I didn't sleep a wink last night. And you should know, in addition to that, every electronic device that I was trying to depend on failed me. So now, say now. Look at your neighbor and say now. We are entirely dependent on him. Are you dependent on him? Come on. 1,200 going to camp. Now, if you're not able to go, don't be disappointed. Don't be downhearted. Don't feel left out. Don't feel like a stranger or a foreigner or not part of the group. Do you remember the story in David? When David was going out to war, and there were two groups. Some of the folks needed to stay and keep the camp and keep everything healthy and going and protected and strong. So, at the same time, your pastor has furled a great prophetic banner over our lives in this season. The banner, a prophetic message, an apostolic unction, enduring witness. Say enduring. Lasting. Lasting. Come on. Lasting. 1,200 people. That's 10 times the number that changed the world when they got filled with the Holy Ghost on the original, right? Come on, Singapore, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Like a tiny gem in the middle of a huge ocean of economy and cultures and peoples moving to and fro. And yet God has planted you, has his eye on you to be uniquely a gateway of influence. And under this gateway, a foundation formed, stable, growing, nurturing, evangelizing is Cornerstone and the Cornerstone family. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? So, Pastor, when you contacted me and asked me to come, I was so blessed. I was humbled. I was thrilled with the very idea of getting to be back together with you all in person. And when you told me what the theme of this season was, enduring witness, I have to be honest. I've gotten convicted by the Lord on this theme. I had no idea how central to the arc of redemption in the scriptures this theme is. You find it over 200 times in the Old Testament in various ways, over 200 times in the New Testament in various ways. We don't talk about it much. I know we think of our witness and our testimony that we must give, and we want to talk about that this morning and the sense of bringing it to life once again with each one of us. So as I began to look at this theme in scripture, it blew my mind. What little mind I had was completely blown. But there were some specific images that stood out to me. And one of them is, you're very familiar with it. It's in Joshua 24. And this is a time of transition. And I believe that the world is in transition. We're moving between generation to generation. And there is a great movement between my generation and the generation that is now rising. And one of the main differences in the formation and the presence and the influence, the information, is technology. It's a wonderful thing. You know, somebody asked AI Claude. Do you know who AI Claude is? Inanimate, right? I mean, this is not organic. It's not a person. It's just mining information that's already existent as facts and, you know, all kinds of research and books and, you know, everything that's been written about a particular. Someone asked AI Claude if he would convert to Christianity. Has anybody seen it? Do you know what he said? He said, reading the Bible from cover to cover, and then Claude began to list the litany of the testimony and witness of this living book that you and I have in our hands, in our hearts, and sometimes in our phones. The most incredible testimony of the living word from an inanimate piece of technology. Now listen. If an inanimate object can discover the incredible revelation, the unique above all philosophies, all orders, all kings, all religions, all other stories and testimonies, the unique one that gives meaning and purpose to life and truly understands the human condition, but moreover, the only one that can offer hope and truth, is Christianity. The Lord Jesus Christ. And even AI Claude said, and it's all about the resurrection. Friends, you and I have been given this gift in living stones. The testimony you carry. The unique gift that not everyone in the world, not everyone in your neighborhood, your apartment block, at your business, not everyone has received this gift yet. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. You have a purpose and a call. So anyway, Pastor, this theme of witness is absolutely phenomenal. And one of the things that we find is it comes into play very powerfully in the events and the great acts of Scripture in times of folding from one generation to another, like Elijah passing to Elisha, or Moses to Joshua. Or Joshua, when he was getting ready to go and exhorting the children of Israel. And then finally, from Israel as witness and servant into the new covenant and to believers. Ultimately, the faithful witness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on to us who follow him. But I want to look for a moment, if you will bear with me, and the Lord will help my mind at some of the imagery in Scripture that burned in my heart. The first one is from Joshua 24. And what is happening here is that Joshua has called the people together as a congregation. And he said, present yourselves. Let's present ourselves to the Lord. And they come to a place called Shechem, which is really significant. Some amazing things happened and do happen at this place. And that is something significant. God takes note of nations and cities and even families. And he recounts and recalls his own history, because here's the mystery about God. He dwells outside of time. We can't help but relate to our lives and our world in a linear fashion. And we have a memory about something that happened. But God dwells outside of time. And so for him, for instance, your life is existent to him in a whole at all times. From the moment you began to come together as a human in the womb of your mother until today, but even beyond, to the day that you see him in his appearing and are called to sit with him in his throne. And that's what this life is all about, so don't get distracted. There are many distractions in this life. But Christian, you have been called as a witness to one thing, the resurrection, and moreover, that your resurrection is at hand. The Spirit that raised him from the dead is the gift you've been given. And he says in Acts 1:8, when they're asking, Lord, what's going to happen in the politics of Israel now? What's going to happen? Is this when we're going to get all of these promises we've had about the nation? When is the kingdom? And he says, hold on, don't get distracted. He said, it's not important, if you can allow me, Lord. That's not important. This is the one thing you need to know that will inform everything else. And he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses. Can you say amen? Say witnesses.
Witnesses.
Witnesses. In the Hebrew, and I'll get this wrong, I'm sure, but I've got a lot of Israeli and pseudo-Israeli friends here on the front row. It's ayed. And it's referring generally in scripture to a stone or a heap of stones that were set up in various places in significant times in Israel's life of renewing the covenant and remembering and making a boundary between themselves and their enemies, so on and so forth. And these heaps of stone were called an ed, a witness. Say witness. Now, why in the world would you choose rocks? Because they're immovable, unchangeable. And ever after, anyone passing that place would see the ayed, the witness, and remember and be renewed in what happened there, what God did, what we promised, what we saw, what we heard, our testimony. Joshua said to all the people, behold, say behold. Behold. Pastor, I'm worried. I think they're already distracted for lunch. Behold.
Behold.
It's like, lay your eyes open, let your ears hear, let your mind and heart be awakened. Behold.
Behold.
This stone shall be a witness. I'm mentoring a young woman who as a baby was tossed into the arms of her father on the beaches of Cuba as he and some other men had put together a raft and were escaping to the promise in America. And at the last minute, this young woman's mother ran out to the beach and literally threw her daughter into the arms of her father. Well, it didn't go so well. And without going into too many details because of addiction in the family and breakdown and a number of other things, she ended up on the street by the time she was 12. Ultimately living as a prostitute, underwent all kinds of violence and abuse, nearly died several times, heavily addicted, essentially owned by the kingdom of darkness. And strangely, this young woman, who by all rights and purposes to the world was a throwaway, an orphan, her own pimp took her to a rehab, a Christian rehab house at a certain point. And there, her life began to change and make sense. But she carried the witness of many things and had strongholds in her heart and in her mind. And needless to say, those things, mistrust and rebellion and distrust of authority, independence, a number of things, have made it somewhat challenging for this young woman and this old preacher to have a wonderful communication and relationship of influence. But I'll say this, is that as long as I was willing to be humble and patient and see the destiny in her life, and as long as she was willing to keep allowing her hardened heart to be broken and come back to the source, she's begun to shed those layers of brokenness. And most recently, we were talking, and she's managed to get some discipline in her life, hold down a job, various other things, and she started to get promoted at her work, and she had a panic attack. She hadn't had one in years, and she texted me, and she said, "Pastor Bonnie, please pray for me. I'm having a panic attack, completely frozen." I prayed for her. I encouraged her. She was able to rise above it. And do you know, much to her surprise, the very next day she got promoted as head manager and got a promotion. Look at God. He's creating a testimony. Now that's pretty radical. Yours may be, may not be that radical, but let me tell you something. As living stones, God is heaping up his church to make that mountain that Daniel saw rising at the end of the age from an original stone flung out of heaven, made without hands, flung out of heaven, and it hit the ground and began to crumble the foundations of all the great kingdoms of the world. And this kingdom began to rise as a mountain until it filled the whole earth. It's talking of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of those living stones that would be birthed through faith in him. You are, I am, one of those stones building up into a holy habitation for his glory. Not just in the future, now. And God forbid that there should be a gap in the wall, that your testimony would be missing because for any reason you've neglected the gift. You shall receive power and be my witnesses. Say power. Turn to your neighbor. Say living stones. Say alive. And that's very different from as Sarai and I were talking. Oh, I used her name. We were speaking, but I was speaking to her about the contradiction or the juxtaposition between a heart of stone and the fact that many times in the Old Testament, stones were made witnesses. And then Jesus said again and again, if my people are quiet, the stones will cry out. That even a rock, an inanimate object, has a knowledge of its creator, enough to recognize him when he appears and begin to give him praise. Come on, saints. Come on, saints. Do you recognize him? There are three levels. I was speaking with some ladies who are quite famous in the U.S. for their prayer ministry. And I said something that surprised them, that for some reason they hadn't heard before. But I said there are three levels of prayer or three levels of encounter. One is in the mind. But the problem with encounter through the mind, through the intellect only, is that unbelief lies there hidden in the corners. And then there's the heart, affections, emotions. Well, the problem with that is that affections can be lured, they can be seduced, they can be tricked. But in your spirit, that place that was dead until in the resurrection, Jesus was seated with the Father and poured out himself in his spirit to indwell you and I. That place, that's the Holy of Holies. It's the place where his glory dwells, the place where he has taken up residence within you, the place where the voice of the Lord is always heard. So we need to quiet these in order that this might lead. And that's what it means to be led by the Spirit, not subject to the mind or heart. I'd like to look at just a couple of other scriptures really quickly on the witnesses point. Say Shechem. Renew the covenant. Singapore, Cornerstone, Family Camp, and all of us who stay behind. I believe that we have come to this place. It's our Shechem, that our Heavenly Father, our Joshua, Jesus, and our apostles, our pastors, are calling us to a place of renewal, of bringing our testimony together once again in a heap of stones, immovable, who recognize our Creator and have been given a testimony to be witness to Him. And that together, our witness, for heaven's sakes, 1,200 going up to camp, plus all the others here, are, like I said, many more times than the 120 who received Acts 1:8 and changed the world. What can Singapore do because of Cornerstone and its testimony? You're called for an enduring witness. In Isaiah 43 and Isaiah 44, and I want to look at them just quickly because they uniquely bring out an aspect of this idea of being a witness, the biblical idea of being a witness that I never saw before until our pastor said, this is the theme of God for now. And the first one is in Isaiah 43, and it starts in verse 8. And what it is, it's actually a court scene. This is God assembling the nations with all of their idols and say, you stand over here and before the court give testimony of your gods and your idols. And then he calls Israel his servant and said, you come over here, though he even says you're blind and deaf. Even though you're blind and deaf, you are my witnesses. And you stand over here and tell of what I have done in you and see which testimony stands. So we are subpoenaed. You know, when you get a court subpoena, I don't know, unfortunately, if there's anyone in here. If anyone is facing a trial by court or any kind of a legal junction against you or your family, just raise your hand quickly. We are going to pray in this moment for an absolute clearing that the decision will go in your favor regardless of the evidence or case against you. Anybody in a court challenge, a legal challenge of any kind right now? We thank you, Lord. Yeah, we thank you, Lord. Let's agree. Father, we thank you now. You are judge and jury. You are righteous. We have come to you. The Bible says we have come to the city of the living God, to God, the judge of all. And now, Lord, we bring this court case and your servant and everything their hand touches into your presence, into your courtroom. And we pray that you, Lord, would rule in their favor. That every case against them, every testimony that would undermine their cause would be silenced. And they would come out with the victory and with the decree in their favor. And all the people said, amen. Amen. So in Isaiah 43, in verse 8, he says, bring out the blind who have eyes, the deaf who have ears. That's a contradiction. But you see, we should not be blind. We should not be deaf. He has given us not just natural, but spiritual eyes and ears to know and see. Let all the nations be gathered together and the people be assembled. And who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say it is the truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. My servant whom I've chosen that you might know and believe me. Your testimony stands as the seal on your faith that God is God, that the God of the Bible, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one and only Savior. Your testimony, however small or simple you may think that it is, if you've encountered Him, it's big. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. I have declared and saved and proclaimed. Therefore, say therefore. Therefore. Say therefore. Therefore. What's this court scene there for? It's there for showing us that He has ordained. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. I have declared and saved and proclaimed. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before day was, I am. And there is no one. Say no one. Look at your neighbor and say, there's no one. No one who can snatch you out of his hand. Say no one. I work. No one can reverse it. He has appointed an appointment over you, over me, over us, over our lives. And in Isaiah 44, the scripture that we had with the title of the message, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. You see Jesus? He's right there the whole way. In the Old Testament, it's not a different God that suddenly shows up. It's the same Jesus, active all the way from Genesis to Revelation, Alpha and Omega, the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, the first and the last. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Have I not told you that from time and declared it, you are my witnesses? Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Alpha and Omega. And then famously in Acts 1, what we've already referred to. It's a powerful juxtaposition, and it speaks to us as the Bible does, as the Bible spoke to AI Claude and convinced him. And you know, Claude went through all of the arguments. He went through all of the testimony of Scripture. He listed everything out and gave all the reasons that he would convert, all the reasons he would be reserved. And the bottom line was, he said, but it's the resurrection. And therefore, because of all of this witness and the proof of the resurrection, even I, an inanimate piece of technology, would be convinced to follow the Lord. I was stunned. That doesn't mean follow AI, even Claude. It means follow Jesus, the living one. So, Acts chapter 1. Let's look at it one more time. For truly John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. Say baptized. Baptized. Say immersed. Fully wet. Dunked. Marinated. Thank you. Come on. I'll take more. You shall be baptized. And don't forget that in the first century Jewish idiom culture, the Christian baptism we have of immersion is from there, and it literally at important moments like this moment, this Shechem, this family camp, this season for Cornerstone, this season for Cornerstone in Singapore, this season for Cornerstone in Singapore in the nations. It's a fresh baptism, and the Jews would go down to the mikvah, and they would assume the position of a baby in the womb and be completely submerged, as it were, in the waters of creation. To not only be washed, they were called living waters. It couldn't be a static pool that would collect all the gunk and the germs of the past person getting baptized. Living waters, also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And they would be completely immersed and come up ready to encounter the new season of their life as an entirely new person at a new beginning. Say new beginning. I declare to you, Cornerstone family and Singapore with Cornerstone undergirding it to the nations, this is a new season. Forget the former things. God is going to do something new and unusual. I believe that Singapore, Cornerstone family, is coming up as a throne, as a chair where the glory of God can rest, and you shall be a safety and a refuge for the East for what is coming. And I don't know what is coming, but I know I've heard from the Lord that you shall be as a safety and a refuge, as stability in times for what is coming in the East. So here we say he says, with the Holy Spirit, not many days hence. Therefore, when they had come together, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They needed to know the politics, what was going on. He said, it's not for you to know that which the Father has put in his own authority. Just trust him. This is what you need to know. But you, say but. Now, I'm an old cowboy. I was raised by American cowboys. I grew up in a John Wayne movie, if you're familiar with John Wayne. And one of the things I like to say, I've found this through and through scripture and in the testimony of God, he always has a big but. Things may be going in one direction. It may look like the enemy and the kings of the earth, men with darkened minds, are in control and are directing everything, but God. And Jesus, the resurrected Lord, is his ultimate faithful witness and final big but God. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, even Singapore. And in Jesus' eye that day, I believe, there was a little gleam, a little glint, looking upon a little, you know, inlet, a little peninsula, sort of like an island to itself on the end of a landmass that would come as Singapore in the end of the age. And he had you in mind as being here. Say witnesses. And the last one, and these are the themes of the Bible. We find that it goes from Hebrew and the Ed, the stones, the Ed, the witness, the testimony in court, servant, Israel, so on and so forth, into the New Testament. The Greek word is our word for martyr. 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 I met a man in Korea, and we were with a bunch of high-powered, really awesome preachers and eager disciples, all giving testimony, and we sat around the table in a heady time of revival meetings. And with all of the power that was at the table, all of the excitement, and all of the everything, there was something about this man that was other, was weighty, not in a negative sense, but as in the kavod of God. Weight. He didn't say anything, but his presence and his countenance was powerful. I did not know this man. And in the midst of the din of the conversation, at a certain point, one of the pastors remembered to introduce him, his friend. And then I heard his story. This young man was born and raised in North Korea under the regime. 3 times he had mustered the plan and the courage and the means to escape to the South. 3 times he was followed, betrayed, arrested, and dragged back into prison, into punishment, each time harsher and harsher. And the 3rd time, even knowing by then what it would mean to his family, who also suffered because of his escapes, that young man chose freedom. And he had escaped again. He knew that it was just as likely he could be betrayed again, that it might be just a matter of time. And going back, he would face certain death. But he carried a kind of serenity and peace. He held no bitterness There was no rebellion in him. There was just strength of character and a solid witness to the grace of God and an ardent zeal and love for the one who had given him true inner freedom, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget his testimony. A living martyr, daily dying, literally, as Paul said, ready and willing to lay down his life, and every time dragged back into prison under harsh punishment, testifying of the Lord Jesus to his captors. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Say substance. The evidence. This is the proof in court. The testimony, the witness, the evidence of things not seen. And it goes on, you know it well, Hebrews 11, a litany of great heroes of the faith under the old covenant. And at the end of the chapter, in verse 39, it says, all these, say all these, and a lot more, because there's a couple of, you know, paragraphs there that list the events of Elijah's life, for instance, without naming him, of Isaiah the prophet who was sawn asunder without naming him, of the widows who received their children back from the dead without naming them, of the many witnesses, say witnesses, all these having obtained a good testimony, say testimony, say good testimony. Can you say it? Can you say it loud? Up there, say it loud. Good testimony.
Good testimony.
Through faith, did not receive the promise. First of all, the full measure of the Spirit of God, as you and I have. The promise of the Father, Jesus said. But it's more. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And friends, this list goes way beyond. In fact, the writer to the book of Hebrews, whether or not it was the Apostle Paul, but now James and John and Stephen the martyr and the Apostle Paul and Mary and the women who went to the tomb, all the ones through our New Testament scriptures are all included in this list of witnesses, of living martyrs, if you will. Many of them did die for the faith. Peter, for instance. What gave him the grace to be crucified upside down, according to legend? Took 3 days to die with his wife being crucified behind him without ever recanting. That's a good testimony. That is an enduring witness. That is a living legacy. And we take courage and inspiration and solace from their life, their word, their story. But friend, you have a story and a testimony to be shared in this hour. That they should not be made perfect apart from us. I want to suggest to you, the Apostle Paul, who ran well and finished his course, is still waiting to get his crown, and he's waiting on you. Let that sink in. This is what Scripture says. So think about it. Abel is waiting on you. Enoch is waiting on you. Noah, Abraham, Sarah, they're waiting on you. They don't get their crown until you finish the race. This is your testimony. The walls of Jericho, Moses, Joseph, Isaac, they're waiting on you. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, Elijah, they're waiting on you. They're waiting on me. They're waiting on us to have a good testimony. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. This is our Shechem season. And it's time to heap together, immovable, resolute, without hearts of stone, hearts of flesh, allowing the finger of God to write afresh his covenant on our hearts, to be renewed in his fire. And it says, therefore, say therefore, verse 12, say therefore. Therefore, we also, say us too, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter, who for the joy set before him, he didn't despise or you know, shy from the pain or the shame. The God of glory was hung up naked before the nation as a testimony for our sake. We are living stones. And he has given us a gift to empower us as his witnesses. Many years ago, back in the day when I actually ran for exercise, we were living in Fort Lauderdale serving under our spiritual father, Derek Prince, and I would run 6 miles every morning down on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. And this one particular morning, I started slogging up the beach, and it was hot and it was sweaty and I was miserable. And inside I was complaining about the, you know, pitiful circumstance of all the responsibilities that I was bearing and blah, 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 blah. Feeling rather sorry for myself, and I decided to snap out of it. And I decided I would get a scripture and I'd focus on that scripture while I was running, and I would finish my workout that day. And I chose Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I began to say it over and over as I was trudging up through the hot sand and the humidity. And all of a sudden, a man flew by me. Little blue running shorts and the coolest running shoes I've ever seen. Flew by. I mean, he went so fast, a little cool breath of air went poof over me. His silver hair just kind of bouncing with every stride. Big smile on his face. He was old, but he was young. And as he passed by, in a split second, our eyes met, and I knew the man. Jay Vesperman, here's the thing. It wasn't a trance. It wasn't a vision. It was a man in form. Ran by me. Friends, the night before, my husband Mahesh and I had been on the phone with Jay's family in Tennessee. Jay was in a coma and he was dying. They were expecting him to step over to be with the Lord at any moment, and they had asked Mahesh to pray a blessing over him. And now here I am the next morning running down Fort Lauderdale Beach, and Jay Vesperman runs by me. It was so dramatic, Pastor, I could have touched the man. It wasn't a trance, it wasn't a vision. Say therefore, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, they're waiting for their crown, they're waiting for us and our testimony. He took about two strides the minute I recognized him. When our eyes met, he threw something on me without a word that said, young lady, you are going to run. You are going to run well. He wasn't talking about that stretch of beach. He was talking about my life and my testimony. And he, as a spiritual father, on his last moment, almost like Elijah going up and leaving Elisha a portion of his mantle, he put on me this determination that for their sake, for God's sake, for your sake, I will run by the grace of God and finish well. It was so dramatic. I looked at my watch. Boy, I tell you, I sped up and I was, therefore, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Ran every step, got back to my car, ran home. And in those days, we had an answering machine, a little plastic box with a red beeping light that plugged in the wall. And it was flashing, and I went and punched it, and it was Jay's family. I looked at the time. At the time he passed me, the time marked on my watch, they sent a message and said, Jay has just stepped over into the arms of the Lord. And he said, Jesus, they didn't know it, but I saw him on the way. I need to run down by Fort Lauderdale Beach and tell Bonnie Chubb to run, girl, you run and finish well. Come on. Church Father, Pastor, I think we're probably needing to wrap it up, right? Church Father John Chrysostom, I always say his name wrong. In his homily 28, he takes on this comparison. And he says that this cloud of witnesses, these living martyrs with their testimony standing before us, waiting for our testimony before they get their crown, that they provide, much like the cloud of shade from the heat and the storm in Isaiah 4 during the time of testing, that this cloud of witnesses hovers over the church and over our lives, watching and waiting over us to sort of bring down the heat, bring down the burden of circumstance. Your testimony, friends, is important. So do not neglect the gift that is in you. May you be like the Kentucky Derby of 2026. I don't know if you watch horse racing. My family were raisers and trainers of race horses. The Kentucky Derby in America this year, something unusual happened. But I love these kind of symbols. For me, they're a reminder when I see things like this. And it's very similar to the ed, the stones that would be a memorial, a reminder, and bring to mind what we needed to remember and fire us up again. There was a horse called Golden Tempo, a woman trainer. The gate opened. Out of the gate came the whole field of horses. All the favorites were in the lead as expected. Way at the back of the pack, behind the last horse by several lengths, was Golden Tempo. And they ran the whole race. It's a long one. And as they came around the last bend into the stretch, suddenly, Golden Tempo began to make a move. And it was so radical that the camera people that were following the race along the whole way never even had Golden Tempo's move in the frame. But Golden Tempo began to make a move. And that horse caught a wind right in the last stretch towards the finish line and came up around the whole pack and steadily passed every other champion and literally won the Kentucky Derby. You should have seen the crowd going wild. I want to suggest to you, you may be feeling like your testimony is running last right now, but there is a cloud of witnesses that is looking on as a great audience and cheering you on and saying, come on, Cornerstone, come on, Cornerstone, come on, Cornerstone. And I am sure that Christ in you, the hope of glory, will be bringing you home in perfect style, that you will run well and finish the course and receive your prize. And as Jesus told the church in Revelation 3:11, let no one take your crown. Amen. We love you, Cornerstone. Pastor.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.